Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Okay, the House Intelligence Committee on the hearings on the possible impeachment of the president start at 9 o'clock Chicago time tomorrow, should go till about 1:30 our time tomorrow, but maybe as late as a little after 3. There's a second hearing scheduled for 8 a.m. our time on Friday. There will be committee hearings next week as well. This is not the impeachment hearing itself. It is the preliminary ramp-up to the drawing up of the articles of impeachment, if it comes to that. Who's going to testify? People who have already testified behind closed doors. Now we get a chance to see and hear them. All of them will tomorrow be experts on U.S.-Ukrainian policy. William Taylor, the top diplomat in Ukraine, George Kent, a guy who said Rudy Giuliani was getting in the way, and Maria Yovanovitch, the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, who she says Rudy Giuliani pushed her out of the way. Who won't testify is just as interesting. Mick Mulvaney said he's not going to testify. The whistleblower is not going to testify. Hunter Biden and Joe Biden are not going to testify. The Republicans drafted a letter of 9 people they want to testify, including Hunter Biden, his business associate, a DNC staffer, some State Department people and contractors, Kurt Volker. They will not be called to testify. One other note about the rules. Normally, when we're used to these things, they get their 5 minutes, and then they have to yield to the next member of Congress, 5 minutes. But in this case, Devin Nunes, who's the ranking Republican, and Adam Schiff, the Democrat, can go much longer. They can go 45 minutes, and in their time, they can defer to lawyers who will question these people. They say it's going to play like a TV show if it plays the way Democrats want. That is, they're going to put their best stuff up front, make it as riveting as possible, and try and hook you in. Andy Field from ABC News is on a phone line. Hi, Andy. It's John in Chicago. How are you?
Good, John. I was hearing you talk about the cold there. I lived in Green Bay, Wisconsin back in the late 70s, early 80s, and I remember the coldest day I ever had was in Chicago. It was somewhere in that time period. It was so cold that when the fire department was putting out fires, the water was freezing as it left the hoses.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got, and you know, it's not like we don't know about that, but we don't know about that the second week of November. That's the thing. That's the kick in the pants here, Andy. We can do that in January. We will, but November, are you kidding me? 11th and 12th? No way.
Yes. Well, Chicago didn't get the Windy City name for nothing.
No, I think Washington, D.C. could get that, too, for the bluster.
Oh, well, but that's hot wind, a lot of hot air.
For the bluster. What is going to stand out to you tomorrow? What should we be looking for as we listen or watch the hearings?
Well, it's going to be a little different than, I guess the last big thing we had like this was Robert Mueller when he testified, and there were really hours and hours of long-winded opening arguments by virtually every member on the committee there, relentless attacks on Mueller's credibility by Republicans. I don't think you're going to see as much of that tomorrow because of the way the rules are set here. As you mentioned, Adam Schiff and the Republican ranking member will have a chance for opening statements, and that's it. And then Adam Schiff says he's going to defer to attorneys on the committee that are simply going to ask a series of questions that they've already asked and they already know the answers to. It's really just a matter of getting this out in the public because most people aren't going to read these transcripts. And as you mentioned, these are all Ukrainian experts. George Kent, the Deputy Assistant Secretary for European and Eurasian Affairs, may actually say something that is helpful to the president, beside the fact that he wasn't happy about the way Marie Yovanovitch was treated and how Rudy Giuliani was going around traditional methods here. But he's also going to testify that Kent was in government when Joe Biden was vice president, and that he brought up a possible conflict of interest with Hunter Biden being on the board of the Ukrainian energy company, two members of Biden's staff. Nothing was done about it at the time, and it just kind of disappeared. And this is the primary reason that President Trump is making the case, saying, you know, we want to get after all corruption, including this part that he thinks Joe Biden and his son Hunter had something to do with corruption in Ukraine. Now, there is no evidence to say that's the case. It's been a debunked theory. Also, a theory that's been debunked is the fact that Paul Manafort, the president's former campaign chair, had basically put this in the president's head that it was Ukraine and not Russia that was hacking these DNC servers. There is no evidence to prove that this is the case. This was just one of these conspiracy theories, and yet the president used that as part of his reasoning for freezing aid to Ukraine.
But if you wanted to have a separate hearing or investigation of some sort, and I don't know who would do it, but the thrust of it was, let's see if there was something fishy, criminal, unethical, or illegal about Hunter Biden getting millions of dollars because his dad was the vice president. I'd be interested in that. I think you've got a case there of some description.
Absolutely. But, I mean, listen, if there is something to investigate, it would be done. But what the president keeps bringing up is this infamous video of Joe Biden on some panel talking about the fact that the U.S. and others withheld aid from Ukraine until a corrupt prosecutor was kicked out. And I think he said something to the effect of, son of a gun, the next day the guy was kicked out. What isn't said and what isn't said by the president is that there is no, at least public connection that we've seen to Hunter Biden. But what we have seen is that the United States wasn't the only one that wanted that prosecutor out before they gave aid there. It was virtually every country in the European Union as well. So this was, and not only that, but Joe Biden really didn't have the power to do anything. He was the vice president. He was the emissary of President Obama at the time. And if anyone was going to make that decision and help Hunter Biden with any kind of favors for Ukraine, it would have been Barack Obama. And there doesn't seem to have been any incentive for Barack Obama to do that.
Almost seems to me like there's two separate conversations, and the Republicans are trying to shoehorn theirs into this one. This House committee hearing tomorrow is looking into whether or not the president may have broken the law or at least committed an impeachable offense by using his office against his political adversary. That may, the Congress may determine that that's an impeachable offense. The Senate won't vote that way, but if the House wants to put forward articles like that, that's one thing. Another thing is, was there corruption, and was the president, don't you think this is one of their points, Andy, that they're going to say we were holding up aid until we had assurances that the corruption was taken care of in Ukraine, and evidence that they were corrupt was the relationship Hunter Biden had with Burisma, right?
That's exactly what Republicans want to say. It falls apart with the actual facts of the situation, which is that there were independent agencies that had already said that the corruption had been dealt with, and that's one of the reasons that Congress voted for the aid months earlier and said it had to be released right away. Well, it wasn't released right away, and now we have multiple sources and people testifying that the reason it wasn't released is that the president wanted to get this investigation out in the public. And the investigation specifically into the Democratic server and to Hunter Biden. So that argument doesn't seem to hold up when you look at why did Congress approve the aid if there was so much corruption. And the fact was they didn't think there was anymore.
Andy Field from ABC News covering the House, not the Judiciary Committee, the Judiciary Committee.
That's next.
Yeah. So they'll take what happened in the Intelligence Committee and the Judiciary
Correct.
Committee afterwards. I'm not exactly sure when this is going to take place. Well, and by the way, when the Judiciary Committee, help me with this, Andy, when they get witnesses before them, that will allow the president and his counsel the opportunity to attend the hearings, respond to evidence. They can question witnesses at the Judiciary.
That is, all of that is correct. The president keeps talking about the fact he doesn't get any due process. The fact is that you have to look at what goes on in the House as sort of a grand jury. most people, when they're being investigated by a grand jury, have to go in there without their lawyers. They just get questioned. They don't get a chance to rebut in these grand juries. It's just the prosecutor basically runs the show, and that's exactly how the impeachment setup is. They are the prosecutors and the investigators, and if they put out an indictment, the president's chance to defend himself would be in the Senate, which is when the trial's coming out. And then the president can call the witnesses he wants to call without Democrats telling him what he can and cannot do. And I guess theoretically he could also call Hunter Biden if he wanted to, although I'm not quite sure how that would help him.
Okay, so that's all kicking off tomorrow morning, Chicago time at 9 a.m. The whole world will be watching. I think so. I mean, I don't mean to overstate this, but it seems like we are going on this sort of unstoppable path to at least drawing up articles of impeachment, and I'd be surprised if the House doesn't try and impeach the guy. I think everybody knows how
it'll end. It may be more than just Ukraine. There have been sources in the Democratic Party who've talked to us who say that they're looking very seriously as well when it gets to the Judiciary Committee of the 7 or 8 instances in the Mueller report where Robert Mueller said, look, this looks like the president and his team tried to obstruct justice. Because of a memo in the Justice Department, he was not allowed to bring these charges against the president because someone in the Justice Department said he can't charge a sitting president. Now, there have been judges since then who have said that, you can write that memo all you want, but it's never been tested in the courts, and this could very well be tested in the courts before this is all over.
Yeah, if I were the Democrats and they were, if the Democrats asked me for advice, I would say don't overplay your hand. Don't try and accomplish too much with your vitriol here. For instance, and maybe they should do this, maybe they should not, but just to give you an example of the piling on that Democrats have an opportunity to do, it's been suggested by some that the president's advice to, say, a Mick Mulvaney not to testify is itself obstruction. Their lack of participation in the impeachment hearings will itself be an impeachable offense, say some.
That's possible, and Adam Schiff has said as much in various statements here. But what's interesting is that the Democrats have basically dropped these lawsuits trying to force them to answer subpoenas and testify. And the Democrats' response is, we've got enough evidence already. We don't need to add anything more to the list here, which is why you are not likely to see John Bolton or Mulvaney or any of these other top officials dragged into court via court order, or dragged into Congress to testify via court order.
Be interesting to see this week or next if the name of the whistleblower gets more publicly bantied about.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point because this is another talking point from the Republican Party that says, you know, we got to get this whistleblower out here, we got to interview him, we got to find out why he brought all this stuff up. At this point, Democrats and almost all legal experts we've talked to said it's a moot point. They've already confirmed all this, and the president keeps saying, but the whistleblower, and their analogy is it's like someone calling the fire department, calling police, saying, this house is on fire. And so the fire department and the fire chief says, well, we're not going to put out that fire until we find out who called and told us. So the whole house burns down, but you know they're still looking for the person who called in the fire.
Nice to talk to you today, Andy. Stay warm in Washington, D.C., sir.
I hope you guys stay warm, too.
I'm hanging up now, sir.
You can laugh because you went from Green Bay to Chicago to out.
Andy Field, ABC News in Washington.